Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Boomer with the day off. He'll be back on Monday. Jerry in for Boomer this morning. And I think it's a good thing that Boomer isn't here today for one reason, and that's the microphone that you are using, Jerry, has completely fallen apart on you. You just...
It's actually mobile. This way we can walk around.
The mic stand, for those of you listening on the radio, the mic stand just came right out of the desk, and then you fix that, and then something fell off the microphone, so that's how we start this morning. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
What is up? I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Yesterday was a nice day, finally. It was warm. It was a great day to start the PGA Championship. Got out on the boat for the first time this season, out on the water, so that re-energized me, reinvigorated me. So I started thinking about summer a little bit and all the great times ahead, because when you live in this area, you're basically living for 2 months, two and a half months.
Yeah, if you're lucky, three, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, September used to be great, but September last year wasn't great as far as weather was concerned. So you're basically living for, you know, middle of June when it gets warm, July, August, and maybe part of September. So you got to maximize it. But yesterday was not a great sports day for the Mets.
How about a disastrous day?
Terrible, just terrible. And you know, the way the game ends, Keon Broxton, I mean, this is that's twice,
yes,
I've seen him in big spots with very, very hittable pitches. And yesterday, it's a Doolittle meatball at 93 miles an hour, about belt high, right down the middle of the plate, that he swings right through. Somehow his bat went through the baseball, and he didn't hit the thing. And the poor guy in the post game, and he seems like a really, really nice guy, but he has just been awful, and he raises those puppies and everything else. But he said, I don't play. I don't know what to do. I mean, I went to Brody Van Wagenen, and I talked to him, but I don't want to mess up their plan. But when you don't play, you don't hit.
Here's the plan. You're not part of it.
Right. And he can't be. However, now you've got McNeil dealing with an abdominal thing that apparently is stemming from sports hernia surgeries that he's had in the past. And Michael Conforto with the concussion running into Robinson Cano. And he's, of course, automatically on the 7-day concussion list. So you're going to need more bodies out there. Yep. Carlos Gomez is a guy who hit like 5 home runs in his last 10 at-bats or something in Syracuse. So you might see him. But it's not like you can just dismiss Keon Broxton now, because your depth is being tested with 2 injuries yesterday down in D.C.
Now, he's now 1 for his last 25, Broxton. Oh. I mean, he's been that bad. Yeah, the McNeil thing, Conforto is horrible because he hits the home run earlier in the game to get the game even, and you know, you're feeling at least better about him, but he goes down. It was as if Robinson Cano was a brick wall.
Yeah.
And I guess his chin hits Cano's shoulder on that pop-up. I think it was Howie Kendrick, I think. And, I mean, he just, like, flops down, and you're thinking, oh my God. But then you see him, he's like, I'm fine, I'm good, and they're not going to take any chances, which is smart. And at least they put him on the train back to New York so he can be looked at. But you know, it's the one thing you didn't want with this team, that so far in terms of bad injuries they had for the most part avoided. Well, now here they come, because the McNeil thing is brutal too, just because in the past, if you look at the Mets track record, you say a couple of days, day to day, it could be a month.
Yeah.
You know, and you certainly hope not. You hope the guy's back in a week or so, or just a couple of days. But it has another weird one. He gets the base hit, he scores the run, and then you see him on the telecast, you know, Gary and Keith. God, I'm blanking out.
Zeal.
Right, Todd Zeal. They're like, you know, what's up with McNeil? They're talking to him, and he looks like he's kind of moving around a little bit. You're like, yeah, I can't be. And next thing you know, he's right out of the game.
Right.
So, and he's a guy who continues to, he was on with Joe and Evan yesterday, who probably put the whammy on him just by having him on.
Yeah, I just thought that.
But all he does is hit, and even the base hit he had in that inning is just a ground ball up the middle, but it seems to find a spot. And he's just such a good professional hitter. To have him come out of the lineup now for a team that's struggling really, really hurts. And then you get Conforto out as well. It's a mess right now.
Well, if you're going to go through everyday players for the Mets, position players, and say, who's a guy you don't want to lose. I mean, Jeff McNeil is right at the top of that
list.
Sure is. I mean, he has been as consistent an offensive player that they have had end of last year and this year. I mean, he has been the most consistent. I mean, the other guys, they go into slumps, they go into holes. Jeff McNeil is not. So you don't know how long this is going to be. This might just be something that crops up and then all of a sudden he's back. But as you said, there's a history. And there's also a history with Mets players and concussions that don't exactly come back and perform right away either. I know everybody's different and every situation is different, especially when it comes to concussions, but you can't blame any Mets fan to be thinking about, you know, Ryan Church and Jason Bay and things like that, where all of a sudden a guy is out a significant amount of time. When you do see him back, it's not the same. So this was just not what you wanted to see. I mean, you could have lived with a loss yesterday, but a loss and then two injuries and the fact that Zach Wheeler was terrible. And I understand that you keep him in the game after, you know, a four-run first inning, but it's not like he got much better after that. I mean, he was getting tattooed in the beginning of this game.
Here's why you're not okay with the loss, because you come back from 4-1 down, and here's the one thing about Wheeler, too. In fairness to him, he wasn't great. I'm not saying he was, but he did get you through, I think it was six innings he got you through at 97, 98 pitches. You know, the first inning starts with, you know, a cue shot of a base hit that had no business being a base hit, and then you get a harmless ground ball that finds a hole. Now, I can't sit there and, you know, spew the virtues of Jeff McNeil for him doing that when, in fact, it happens for Robles as well. But it's like on two-strike pitches, you get ground ball base hits that shouldn't. They wind up giving up the four runs. He settles down. They come back and tie it. And what you got into the Nationals bullpen early because Anibal Sanchez gets hurt in what, the third inning of this game or second inning, whatever it was. And he stinks too, but whatever. You get into this brutal bullpen, you get the game even. You have to win that game.
Yeah.
I don't care who's out. And Dominic Smith's at bat. You can't even excuse that in the ninth inning. You know, Broxton takes the hit, but Dominic Smith comes up. I get it's a lefty, but he just pops up weakly when you really had something going there.
Yeah, I the reason I say, you know, you would have been okay with the loss is the fact that, you know, you got Miami again, you got the Marlins coming up again for three, you've got DeGrom, Mats is coming back, who's been great, and hopefully he'll be all right with the nerve thing, and then Syndergaard, who, you know, who has been up and down, but you feel like he's figuring out a little bit. You're like, okay, it's not the worst situation in the world, because this whole stretch of games, you've started out 3-2, it's not 2-3, it's not 0-5. This stretch that we've been talking about so much. But yeah, it's a really, really bad loss. And you got two guys hurt. And you don't have a lot of answers because your depth is being tested. So, I mean, this is another one of those things, one of these moments for the Mets that they're so lucky that they've got the Marlins on the schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time, and that might mask their issues again, because the last time we're talking about this in a 50-minute meeting, whatever, with Brody, Mickey, the whole deal, and Jeff Wilpon, and then they go into the Marlins series and they end up doing what they're doing there. I mean, with at least two games, it was two, not three. I mean, now you're going to get another three-game set against the Marlins here, and maybe that makes them right for a little bit, but all it does is spray potpourri on the larger issues with this team is that they're really not very good.
It does, and you know, you're not going to have the Marlins to turn to every time you come off a bad series. And how many times over the last couple of years, maybe 3 years, whatever, have the Mets gone out there, won the series opener, and then fail to win the series?
Yeah.
It drives you nuts. And then yesterday you have the... And think about the turn of events in the span of about 4 or 5 minutes yesterday. You're watching the game. You get the Kendrick double. Conforto comes out of the game with the concussion. And then the two-run homer.
Yeah.
Next batter.
Right.
Like, you go from, you know, we got the game even. We're back to square. Conforto concussed. Two-run homer, we're back down 6-4, and we've lost two players.
Yeah, awful. And it's just, you know, it's these day games. I always feel like it's these horrible day games. Like on a Thursday, stuff like this happened. Yeah. Remember a couple years ago that it was a terrible, there was a day game with the rain delay and the tarp and everything. It was back in 2015.
Oh,
and
I was at that game.
Yeah,
I left and I saw them lose by the time I got home. That was the horrendous monsoon that swept over Citi Field because they had to go, if I remember, didn't have to go on a West Coast trip.
Yes, yep.
So they were going to wait that out. And even the last inning was played in rain.
Yep.
But we sat through probably an hour. Oh, I'm like, what are we doing? Let's just go home. Listen, rain delay the whole way. We got home. We saw the last inning at like 7 o'clock at night. It was a 1 o'clock game.
Oh, it's just awful.
I forget who that was against, but yeah, it might have been. So the Diamondbacks, maybe? But I remember that game you're talking about.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks. That does
it was
sound
the Padres.
Familiar. It was the Padres. Okay, it was the Padres. Okay, so it was one of those teams in the NL West. But yeah, but that end of that season ended up working out okay for the Mets. But yeah, that was just one of those terrible games. So yeah, there's a real concern for the Mets. You know, I was thinking about all these things we talked about this week, because this has been a crazy week. You know, there's and how much concern there should be around some of these organizations, because everybody's freaking out. And now that the dust has settled a little bit, now we have another freak-out situation with the Mets if everything happened yesterday. But I do believe there's real concern there. But how much of a real concern is there with what happened with the Knicks and Jets this week? I mean, I know that things didn't go the way.
I have no concerns with the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean.
None.
Right. I mean, I think that.
None.
The concern would be, if anything, is that because the winning of the lottery would have felt to a lot of Knicks fans like finally something good happened to this franchise that hasn't happened in a long time.
I think something
and
good
now,
did happen.
Yeah, I know, but it would have been the ultimate prize. It would have been the ultimate prize.
Maybe, if he turns out to be as good as we think.
But that's what it would
have
signified.
What if Barrett's better?
And he may be, and all of that is rational thought. But there's a lot of irrational thought that goes on with sports fans, especially with teams that have been bad for so long. So it would have been like, wow, you won the lottery. The odds were there. You did it. This is the first step in something special happening. It didn't happen. But now, they were a couple days away. I think that your take is the one that now is permeating and now in the heads of most Knicks fans.
Here's where I think you could be glass half empty.
Yeah.
If they ended up at 4. Or 5.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. Yes.
You ended up in a spot where you've got the 3 best players available, right? And most people will tell you, while the draft is deep, the best 3 separate themselves from the next 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
They're another level. If you ended up with the 5th pick, how about if you're the Cavs or the Suns, who did what you did all year, and you ended up at 5 and 6 or whatever they... Yeah, because the Lakers were 4, 5, and 6. They're not getting their hands on one of these 3. And I don't know enough about, I really don't know enough about John Morant, who played at Murray State, never saw him until the NCAA tournament. It was nothing more than a couple of highlights and reading about him during March Madness.
Sure.
But RJ Barrett we saw, like we saw Zion Williamson. And I'm telling you, I said it before the draft, and I hope I'm wrong because I'm not a Knick guy, but I do believe you have a chance that you might have gotten the better player.
Yeah, and I'm getting into him more and more as these days have gone on. You know, both his parents went to St. John's and were athletes there. His dad played at St. John's. Yeah, neither did I. And his mom with track and field at St. John's, which is great. He wants to be a member of the Knicks. He said that either the Knicks or the Lakers, he doesn't like the idea. This is sources. I guess he didn't say this, but people around him have
his
said
it. His stepdad didn't say it?
Yeah, no, that's Zion. Zion's stepdad is the guy who's always mouthing off. But yeah, so RJ Barrett said Knicks or Lakers. So I'm getting into that a little bit. So I think that as long as the free agency works out for the Knicks and Barrett ends up being the guy, and then maybe, I don't know, maybe even flip the pick and you end up with Anthony Davis somehow. There's still a lot of positive there. So I think that we put that aside and people are feeling better about that. And then the Jets too, you know, as much as it didn't look good and the timing of it was bad, and you basically fired a general manager you didn't think was good enough to have that job after he just orchestrated or authored the most important offseason that you've had in a long time, it's not going to have a real effect, you would think, on this season.
I don't think so.
Unless Le'Veon Bell and Adam Gase can never repair the relationship, or C.J. Mosley is pissed off about Adam Gase thinking he's making too much money, and those two guys don't get along. But I don't believe that that's really going to happen. So, I mean, those two things that happened this week, that were freak-out moments for fan bases, like it's not the impact, the immediate impact.
There is none.
Right, there really isn't none.
There's none.
Yeah, right.
The Knicks may not have gotten Zion Williamson, but they did get better with earning the 3 pick.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a fact, I think. At least if Barrett turns out to be as good as I think he's going to be. And if even if they swung and half-missed in free agency, they're going to be a better basketball team next year, and they're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any question about it. So you won, even if you lost a little bit the other night. And in terms of the Jets, I said to Al on the warm-up show the other day, before you guys came on yesterday, you know, I heard Bart Scott when this happened with the Jets, and I was very interested in his take just because he played, and he played recently.
Sure.
Not saying Boomer didn't, but I was interested in what Bart had to say in the immediate aftermath of that announcement. And I thought his take was kind of what you just said. He goes, in terms of us players, I'm not talking about Bell. I'm talking about the rest of the guys, because Bell might be a little bit different with what's come out this week. They don't care.
Yeah.
They got their contract. They're paid to do a job. It's not the head coach. It's the GM. They may feel bad for him, but it's not going to change anything on the field. So while it does look bad, I think at the end of the day, I don't think we're going to be sitting here in October if the Jets aren't playing well and saying, because they fired McCagnan.
Right.
I don't buy that.
I totally agree. I think the fan base and the anger and all this emotion that came out the last couple of days was because they were finally in a good place, were trusting the organization and the direction, felt like they weren't the laughing stock in town. That was in the Giants facility, and now Dave Gettleman was now the person that everybody was saying had no clue what was going on, and the Jets were sitting pretty, and then they delivered this news, and it was like, here we go again.
It makes them look silly.
Right. So, I mean, I think that's what it was. I mean, it's all the stuff that's gone on in the past that drove those two stories.
Oh, no doubt. And I understand the fan base, and you're upset, and I get it, but I think when you do step back, take a deep breath, you know, the Knicks are going to be a much better basketball team next year regardless. And, you know, it's weird. You want Anthony Davis in the worst way, I think. I think most fans do.
Yeah.
Are you going to give up Barrett to get him? And I guess the answer is probably
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you have to.
I think you do.
And then you also got to put Mitchell Robinson in that deal too, I would think. Because you got to remember, he had the best seat. You could talk about Kevin Knox and where he was drafted. Mitchell Robinson was by far the better player last year. And he's from Louisiana. So that's another part of it. If you're going to be, you know, make it a deal with the Pelicans and you got a guy who might be a budding superstar and he's a hometown guy, I mean, you can sell that to your fan base a little bit in addition with Zion and then also putting Zion and Barrett together. I mean, you got a little something there if you're the Pelicans. So, yeah, I mean, either way, it's just really about Durant and Kyrie choosing the Knicks. That's the biggest thing. If Anthony Davis is there with them, that's amazing. Oh, I mean, that would just be absolutely incredible. But if you got Knox, you got Robinson, you got Barrett.
Imagine if you had those three and they stayed healthy for a full season and gave you 75 games each.
Well, right. But the problem is with Davis and Kyrie, I mean, that's like that has not happened with
issue.
Those guys.
That's why I said, could you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, they would easily, I mean, they'd be the one seed like.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, just by waking up and showing up, they'd
Giannis
be the one seed.
Your ass, here come the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, that would be. Yeah. I do think that Durant and Kyrie looking at a roster with all those young guys surrounding them is not nearly as attractive as getting another superstar and then supplementing those pieces with who the hell else. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter to them.
Unless they like Barrett as well.
They may. Yeah, they may.
I don't know.
All right, Boomer and Geo with Jerry in for Boomer this morning on the Fan CBS Sports Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.